I have two announcements to make about important things. We hear a lot about ministry of presence, and sometimes just our physical presence can be very important. And in addition to what we can learn. The first of these happens next Wednesday from noon to 2, and it's a workshop on keeping people with mental illness out of jail, a huge issue here in Santa Barbara. And that will be led by the League of Women Voters, and it's at the Faulkner Gallery in the Public Library next Wednesday. Flyers on the table. Noon to 2. Flyers on the back table. The other is a interfaith introductory workshop for religious leaders, congregants, and allies. And it's called the Faith-Rooted Congregation Sanctuary Workshop. And that is also on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, March 22nd, from 11:30 to 1:30 at the United Methodist Church. So these are important, and I think would be very helpful if you're free on Wednesdays. Flyers on the back table. Without further ado, our speaker.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you all so much. I have many requests for an exercise, and my desire, and I hope I will curtail what I have to say, is for you to be able to choose between two topics. And the topic is, the other is the notion of focusing on behalf of the pain of the world. Okay, so let me just, I actually wrote a formal position paper because I thought that was going to be my dissertation topic. And I ended up writing on Hamlet, and guess why? Because it was safer. I wanted to get through. So, for several days last year, I experienced a felt sense that absorbed my attention in a persistent manner. As I tended to it, my first awareness, all of this was not of a personal nature. The quality of the felt experience was profound sadness. As I sat with it, the phrase, "Rachel weeping for her children," resonated closely. I experienced some shift in awareness, and I continued to host the felt experience resonating, "Rachel weeping." I then became aware of a larger theme of the Divine Mother's pain, or the Earth's pain. It was my impression that I was experiencing on behalf of the world pain for her distress. Again, my body confirmed this, in that it gets a little looser, you know. It's not quite as congested. It's like playing that game where you say, you know, you near, or something like that, to the blindfolded person. As a result, the sadness was less poignant, and I felt a greater connection with mothers who have lost. I am not a biological mother myself, so that was included, mothers who have lost the opportunity to bear a child. The dissonance had moved to resonance, and then to some resolution. Now, there are four references here which led me to believe this is a topic worth pursuing. James Hillman says, "We still locate the psyche inside the skin while the world deteriorates. Every time we go to therapy with our rage and fear, trying to get rid of it, we're depriving the political world of something." Therapy, in its crazy way, by emphasizing the inner soul and ignoring the outer soul, supports the decline of the world. Whoa! Hillman, you always say, whoa! Okay, a second one. Some of you might know a person who lived here and went to UCSB, Wendy Wright. In 1990, she wrote, "For weeks now, I have wakened between 3 and 4 in the morning to the sound of weeping. Not to my infant or preschool daughter's cries, but to what I can only describe as the weeping of the world." Third one, Steve Eisenstadt in a lecture in 1989, he commented on images of mushroom clouds in the dreams of children with this principle: souls of subtle bodies of non-human phenomenon are reflected on behalf of themselves in images of the dream state. Similar to that was a woman who is now emeritus for Waldorf School, and she said, beginning, I met with her, say, 2 years ago, and she said the prolification of very dangerous images in the Waldorf kids' drawings said they're picking up something in the ether. And the fact is, when you draw it, in some way, you get some relief because you have begun a process. Okay? Thomas Berry said that there is a deep mystical tie between humans and the earth, which has never been described empirically. It's time to do so now. So, what I wanted to do was an actual phenomenological study in which I would invite people to dialogue with me who had this experience sort of beforehand. And I might just say, if you feel uncomfortable, have you ever had the sense of hanging in with an emotion or a felt sense that was uncomfortable, and you had the sense it wasn't your stuff, but someone else's? Okay. See some hands. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I want to encourage you all to consider doing this. And yet, today might not be the right time. So, when we have, I'm going to go through some steps that, you know, feel free to choose an issue of your own, positive or negative, in the sense of comfortable or uncomfortable. That's how I mean it. Sort of like a plus or a minus, but not the way that we make negative negative. You know, negative is just we don't want to say a minus sign, but it's just a sign, a direction. So if it's of your own, but if you in particular have had this sort of nagging sense of something that gets you, it might even lead you to the books you read, you know, the period of time you want to explore. It might be, there might be some way, you know, God, I can't believe how I am drawn to nature. I'm drawn to those fires. Sorry. I'm drawn to those fires in the Midwest. You know, I see them and they get me at a place. And I know I'm safe here in Santa Barbara, but you know, this one woman last night or the night before said, "This isn't just empty space that's burning. This is the food of the country, whether it's cattle that graze there or corn or what. This is food for the country that's burning." Some of you might not even know that there's been wildfires that we in California have always had in the Midwest, you know, right now. So that might be the thing. Anything else that somebody could add to it right now, call out just loudly, that would help others.
Have you seen
abuse. Some people carry, whether it's a sexual abuse, some people I know are within the Catholic Church are just so crushed that we haven't been able to get that amazing man, Francis, to stand up to the people who think that sexual abuse shouldn't be our number one concern. It's like at the well, it's poisoned. You know, the well of who gets to speak on behalf of religion. Enough of that. Anybody else have other things? Yeah.
Injustice.
Okay. Somebody had told me that they had the sign of immigrant, everybody, and one of the people said they were Native Americans, so they weren't immigrant. So I said, I have a solution for you. Put migrant, because we're all migrants. We're all migrants. Immigrant already sets up an opposition. Anything else? You and Syria. All right. Unbelievable stuff there.
Bullying.
Yes.
Poverty.
Okay.
Education.
Lies. Okay. Species disappearance.
Nuclear overkill.
Nuclear overkill. North Korea. North Korea.
Pollution,
yes. Pollution of our waters. Okay, do you hear that? I hear the heaviness in the room. You might want instead to, when we do this focusing, you might want instead to be with something light, because that is where you are today. You might be hopeful. You might be at peace. You might be grateful. Yeah. All right. So the only discernment is, as we quiet down, to see what's there today. Okay. So if it's comfortable to close your eyes, especially in the beginning, do that. And but, you know, allow yourself to jot something down on a piece of paper if you have it, because that is so helpful. I'm going to sort of go through some steps here to lead us to, first of all, an experience, then stay within the right way, the expression, and then resonance. But I'll do that slowly. Okay. So, allow yourself to be open to whatever is in your awareness right now. And see if you can quiet any voice inside of you that wants to evaluate, dismiss, even argue. Just allow yourself to be in a place of presence. And for that, it might be helpful to take three breaths. Breath first out, and then in. And then a breath out. And then in. Then a breath out. And then in. And then ask yourself this question. Is there anything between me and feeling really good right now? Is there anything between me and feeling really good right now? And if there is, see if you can set it aside, like putting it, if you're sitting on your butt, putting it down on the floor in front of you. And then notice if you feel any relief from just setting it down. On the other hand, if you're feeling really good, just stay with the feeling, I'm feeling really good now. And then ask yourself again, right now, is there anything between me and feeling really good right now? And do the same thing. If there's something either long ago or just 2 hours ago, see if you can set it down. And then notice how you feel. Notice if you would say, no, there's nothing more between me and feeling really good. Gosh. And then I'm going to ask you to just continue that for just a few minutes. It might not be enough until you could actually say, except for these things, I feel really good. And then just notice if you had been carrying a lot of things. If you can feel the difference, except for these things, gosh, I feel really good right now. And now go back to the things set aside, as well as going back to the feeling really good. And see which one of those wants you to be with it in this exercise. If you can, let the item you're going to be with choose you. So whether it's something full of gladness or peace or something really hard and heavy, something of the world or something personal, select one thing to be with. As you're with this, allow yourself to be with it without judgment, perhaps with some curiosity, with openness. Openness in particular to how your body carries it. Openness to whether it's a good or a not so good feeling. And as you do that, try to get a sense of the quality of how it is in your body. And if that quality finds some expression in a word, or a gesture, a song, a and keep going back to how it feels, and then wait for the expression. So that you could sort of say, I got it. That's how it feels. It doesn't have to make sense to your rational mind. It doesn't even have to be a word. It could be something like squishy or caca. It could be just a sound. And those of you who were coughing, allow it to be the cough. Because maybe that's how it fits. And then see if you can resonate these two, one against the other. The experience in the body with some expression, an image, a gesture. A word. And as you resonate these together, you might find yourself changing the image, or the image changing itself. It's actually working, the process, when this happens. No, it's not that. It's a little bit more. God, it's a little more like a word beginning with an R. Allow yourself to sort of nuzzle into it. And notice if in this process the feeling in your body shifts. Ever so slightly. And then one starts, so to speak, all over again with a new feeling. And you recycle this process. Staying with a bodily felt something. Letting it express itself in a word or gesture. And then noticing if there's a change. And then at some point you might want to write something down. And so I'm actually going to be silent now for a good few minutes. To allow you to write down where you are, what has come. And if you are left with a very hard feeling, know you can put it anywhere it's willing to be. It might be willing to sort of rest in a bookshelf you have at home where you put things sort of out of sight. Yet you know they're there. Or you might put it in what you write in your notebook. Or you might put it in the hands of someone you trust. And then begin the process to come back to awareness of us as a group. Okay. What I'd like to know is how many of you in that very short time felt a shift? Okay. At least half of the group in that. Are there some of you who are willing to come up and talk briefly about what you experienced? Yes. And if you are, also just line up behind Peter and we'll maybe hear from as many people as possible. Thank you, Peter.
As you know, my name is Peter. I am conscious that I am not alone. And very specifically, that I'm not in charge. What came to mind for me is a mystic from the 14th century, Julian of Norwich. And in her vision, she was told that all will be well. All manner of things will be well. I live in that. I live in the awareness that Trinity, as our Creator, will make all things well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. That was very powerful to me. The memory that I went back to was when I was 4 years old, and in those days, my mother, if she'd had another baby, came home in an ambulance, and I heard the ambulance, and I ran. I was so excited that my little sister was home. And there was also the helmsman in those days. And so I ran into my room, got my piggy bank, went out, and bought a donut for my little sister. And I came inside, and my mother said, "What's that?" And I said, "It's a donut for my little sister." She said, "She can't eat donuts." Mm-hmm. And I must admit, I've never liked donuts since. But what I came in touch with in this memory, because I felt so rejected, and my gift mm-hmm. felt so rejected. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered in the memory process that I just went through that she had had a miscarriage before me and another miscarriage after me, and I'm sure she was scared shitless that something would happen to this baby. Mm-hmm. And I've never looked at it from her side. I've uh-huh. always looked at it as I did the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Others?
As I was sitting there, I came in touch with feelings that I didn't know I was carrying. So, carrying such a burden about fear for the world and fear for our country. Mm-hmm. And it felt like right here in my chest, there was this heaviness. And I kept trying to put it down. Mm-hmm. And it took a couple times, and I still carry it, but it's much lighter now. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience.
You had some practice putting it down.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
I've been having trouble with a family member. And I had two polar opposite feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, love and compassion on one side, and anger and hatred on the other. Mm. A lot of anger. And in doing this exercise, what I came to is that I didn't have to land on one side or the other. What I could do was detach with love. Mm. And that word love was a thing that came in. Mm-mm. And so it made it all come together. Mm-hmm. I can do that. Mm-hmm.
The way that it came in, you know, is what we call grace, or writers call inspiration. Same thing.
Thank you.
Hi. I got hit in the head with a tray of food, and about 4.5 years ago, and have had all kinds of really serious detached vision problems. Mm. And I'm facing more surgeries. And so what was interesting is what came the first image, so the emotion was anxiety about this impending surgery and all this other weird stuff that's happening with my vision. But what came was a brown paper bag as an image with the anxiety. And then the brown bag was full of crumbs, like crumbs. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's the crumbling of my former life when I could see and drive and mm-hmm. do what I wanted to do. But then at some point I just kind of hung with it, and it turned into being a child going down a slide, like that freedom mm-hmm. of just, you know, and just where you go down the slide and you get back up and you climb back up. But the exhilaration of that, that, and I realized it's kind of like, is that a continuum of anxiety? Like, at one point, anxiety is disabling. Mm-hmm. But at another point, there's like a good kind of like, oh, we're going to go down. Whee! You know, mm-hmm. It's that movement. In one case, movement in my life, not of my choosing, mm-hmm. but at other, the freedom to just move freely.
Uh-huh.
So,
and, so to speak, take a risk
right.
in a contained
yeah.
manner.
The bag just changed to a chill slide.
Wow.
So, anyway, wow. I don't know. But thank you.
Yes.
I want to take the slide feeling. I like the bag.
Yes. Yes. Notice how varied these are. That helps with any kind of inner judgment, to notice that they're so varied. You know, there's not a right thing from out here. There's only a right thing from in here, from the fit. Yes.
So I'm working on a project about the Japanese-American incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
The executive order was signed 75 years ago. And so the first image I saw actually was a sign that the photograph taken at the time of Japs go home.
Yeah.
And then the second image that came to me was actually my, and I've been thinking a lot about actually about the parents, my grandparents, about what they were doing with their children. So, and I actually then came to a photograph of my grandmother and grandfather holding my father as a baby.
Mm.
And then the last image I had actually was of my father as a young 20-year-old playing baseball in camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just the whole idea of actually this dualism, holding both, you know, and I, the story, and my parents actually met in concentration camp
mm-hmm.
and married there, right? And so it's a dualistic, you know, kind of, or non-dual thinking of mm-hmm. the yin and the yang.
Yes.
So thank you.
The part that was, you know, an insult and
right.
outrage and the good things that
right.
happened.
Right. Me.
You. Yes. 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 Okay.
Hello, Dawn.
Yeah.
I have been beset by problems that are probably normal in most families, but I've taken them on so much onto myself. And as I sat there, I suddenly began to feel them dissipating, not going away, but going away from me. So I was in another space. So this is what I wrote. There is a green space, a place of acceptance, not happiness, not joy, but a waiting space, in which I hold nothing, and nothing holds me. I will wait in the sun, without tears, without fear. I will fold my hands in love.
You can see this process can be a prep for writing a poem. And I have a poem to close with, and I'll just close with it. It's a brief meditation on life on the Moiba Strip. I hope you all touched it. Do you know it?
No.
Oh. It's written by Parker Palmer. That I know a number of you know this writer. I might not read it all. That curious object is a Moiba strip. If you take a finger and trace what seems to be the outside surface of the strip, you will suddenly and seamlessly find yourself on what seems to be the inside surface. Continue to trace what seems to be the inside surface, and you will suddenly and seamlessly find yourself on what seems to be the outside surface. I have to keep saying what seems to be, because there's no inside or outside. The two surfaces keep flowing into each other, co-creating each other in the endless cycle of a form that has only one side. And I'll read. If you want it, just Google Moebius Strip, Palmer Parker, and I'm sure it'll come up. It has more, two more paragraphs that are delightful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Don, and we'll see you all next week when we'll be talking about love.